Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
To the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall, and I'm here to tell you, in front of witnesses Jason Kirk and Holly Anderson, that Auburn Jesus is born. He is real, and all one needs to do is that after Jesus was born in the town of Birmingham, then transferred to Boise. In the days of Herod the King. Herod the King here will be played by who, Jason? Bobby Lauder? Is that Bobby Lauder?
Bobby Lauder, or, well, Nick Saban. Nick Saban's Herod. Herod in the story.
Herod was probably like 5'6", so yeah, this checks out. Saying, "Where is he who is born king of the Auburn Tiger Plainsmen? For we have seen his star in the southeast and have come to worship him."
His star in the SEC West sky.
In the SEC West sky, that's right. And when Bobby Lauder heard this, he was troubled, and all of Opelika with him. And then he gathered them all and said, "I'm going to send three wise men." Those three wise men, Jimmy Rain, a.k.a. the Yellow Fella, Taylor Hicks, American Idol great and the greatest Auburn graduate. Certainly the wealthiest. I can't think of any Auburn graduate wealthier than Taylor Hicks, or more representative of them in general.
And on the cutting edge of technology.
Yeah, or more. Yeah, exactly. Like, who's really more in people's pocket every single day? Who's more a part of their lives than Taylor Hicks? And Cecil Newton, the third wise man. "For they heard the king's orders and they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the SEC West, they came and they brought gifts." Those gifts were mostly cash. Almost entirely cash. "And the baby, lo, did they name him Brian Harsin." Auburn has hired a football coach after 8 days in which...
Oh, they're not going to like that at all.
8 days?
Yeah.
8 days and eight nights.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Huh. Biblically speaking, 8 days is the symbol of a world that has begun anew. So this can work.
Okay.
Six is the measure of the job. Seven is the day in which you admire the job, reflect on the job, and then eight is when the new job begins.
Tuesday's child is full of steak. Yeah, I remember this.
I do like, by the way, that even God, like, watched a homer. Like, the God on the seventh day was like, bat flip. Poom.
Oh, yeah. What did he do at the end of each creation? He made light, and he was like, "Man, I put my foot in that one. That's some good light right there."
This is actually why God created man, because he was tired of being like, "Good job, me."
Yeah. I keep putting up my hand for a high five, and I have no hand to touch it.
God, the highest five of them all. Am I right?
Only two chains can... only two chains, only two, as he as is canon, only two chains can dap God.
Remember, things two chains has done. He has shouted out a stove. That's something he has actually done. He shouted out a stove. Nobody else has ever done that. He has worn pajamas to Ruth Chris, and he has gotten so high that he and God have dapped.
I got distracted for a second, and I was like, "God wore pajamas to Ruth Chris?"
Yes.
Yeah. Wouldn't you if you were God?
That's an excellent point.
I would on the seventh day, because on the 6 days I'm just like working. I'm doing amazing stuff.
Oh, I feel like we're probably missing a speech from Kanye somewhere that we probably should have already heard on the biblical origins of athleisure.
That's when you want to do stuff, but also be comfortable with who you are. Yeah, I like this.
I wouldn't go that far.
But over the last 8 days, that extremely biblical measure, appropriately so, there have been many false proclaimers. There have been many people in the Auburn job search who have been mentioned, but were not, in fact, the true form of Auburn Jesus on this planet, which has now been revealed to be now former Boise State coach Brian Harsin. Jason, one of those people was initially Kevin Steele, the defensive coordinator, who
remains close to the situation there in Bethlehem, Birmingham.
Sure.
In case you wonder how that's going to go, Auburn Jesus, like the form of the Trinity, might have several forms. It might be Brian Harsin. It might be Brian Harsin and Kevin Steele.
Let's remember this. Jesus saw Judas coming from a long way off, right? Jesus looked Judas in the eye and said, "Man, get this shit over with." That is what happens when you walk in and Kevin Steele is still on your coaching staff, right?
Was Jesus the original Uruk-hai?
Ooh. Now that makes The Lord of the Rings a much more interesting story. Also, Jesus had great traps. Amazing traps. All the way up to the neck, man. Like
trap
just
king.
Trap
king.
Wow. Uruk-hai trap game. Flawless. But yeah, the Kevin Steele, well, a leading candidate. He's now currently likely the defensive coordinator along with the rest of that staff, including Rodney Garner. Is that something that might be interesting to watch? No, I'm sure. They'll be totally fine. There'll be no friction whatsoever. None. Additionally, who else was associated with this job? Billy Napier of Louisiana Lafayette, who allegedly turned the job down. Maybe because he knew he would get there, Kevin Steele would be sitting there, a guy who was considered for the head coaching job. Who else was considered for this job? Bill Clark. Bill Clark of UAB. The man...
Bill Clark was considered. Bill Clark didn't do a whole lot of considering back.
Yeah.
I think Bill Clark's a little too competent for this job.
This is... I need to drop the veil for just a second. That's another biblical reference, because this is the absolute funniest part of all of this to me. That Auburn went through all of this bullshit without ever apparently considering the fact that Bill Clark turning them down was going to get out.
Like, that's not like he's going to talk. Steve Sarkisian. Steve Sarkisian also.
Sark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. I can't say the actual thing, but I really want people to know about this.
The Sarkisian. Sark of the Covenant, if we're trying to stick to the theme.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But they didn't. They did not get a covenant with Sark.
No, I'm just going to say it here because I think everyone will think it's funny, and then we can cut it out later. Sark. Anyway, we could just bleep that. We could bleep that out. I just needed everyone to enjoy that for a minute because I sure did.
Other candidates mentioned for this. Brent Venables. Speaking of guys who probably went back and said, hey.
Sure.
Brent Venables mentioned because it's a open college football coaching job.
Mm-hmm. Also, you know what Brent Venables would have done? He'd walked in and go, you know what? I'm the defensive coordinator. And they'd have said, that's cool. Can you use another defensive coordinator? We have one in the form of Kevin Steele.
Did Brent Venables not replace Kevin Steele at a... at Clemson?
Yeah, wait a second. How'd that go?
Seeing as that was the entire reason Clemson is now Clemson.
Think about how if he just walked in that door, Kevin Steele's still sitting there, and he's like, I can't walk into a new building without your ass being there. I can't. Like, it just, how does this keep happening? Tony Elliott, a co-offensive coordinator and highly, highly touted and respected assistant on the Clemson staff. Also, you know, allegedly considered for the job, but Tony Elliott, not being dumb, decided to just, you know, decline any potential interest in the job. And because Kevin Steele is probably going to be there. It's probably not something a young coach on his first head coaching gig wants to deal with.
I'm going to make a proposal. Clemson and Auburn, their inextricably linked history. I can never remember which one stole what from whom, but there's like varying transactions there. What if we say Auburn, when they have a head coaching vacancy, they can only hire Clemson assistants and vice versa? What if we just say that forever? The two of you,
we're setting up a feedback loop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many battles.
Also, that's really making our job easier because we can say, well, leading candidates include all of these people.
Yeah, these 10 guys.
Yeah, it's got to be these 10. Like, you have to alternate, too. Like, well, he's on an Auburn rotation, but he'll be over here on a Clemson rotation in a minute. Then he can go back to Auburn. You wouldn't even have to change anything. I feel like in Auburn and Clemson, they're so similar that I don't even have to change directions on how to get to, like, the grocery store. You just flip everything, right? Like, well, you hang a right and a left and a right. It's probably a left, right, and a left in Clemson.
So they just copied and pasted the whole town and clicked, like, flip horizontal,
flip.
And that's it?
They just clip flip horizontal on Photoshop.
No one will notice.
Yeah. Like, if you bought a game of SimCity and the only two maps were Clemson and Auburn, you'd feel so cheated. You would. You'd just be like, you guys didn't even try. No, we didn't. We really didn't.
I'm gonna build the Auburn arcology. I'm going to get Auburn. Oh, God.
This is getting to my favorite moment in this coaching search. Mm-hmm. And it happened about an hour and a half before they hired Harsin. Mm-hmm. And it was this. About 3 hours, actually, looking at the timestamp. Who was mentioned as a person of interest in the coaching search 3 hours before they announced the hire of Brian Harsin? Hugh Freeze! That's I feel like that's the moment when somebody says, all right, enough of this shit. I have had it. I'm going to turn this car around, and you know where we're going to go? You know where we're going to go? I was going to take you to McDonald's.
Now we're going to Idaho.
Now we're going to Idaho. But before that, I'm going to scare you with this. I'll send you to military school if you don't straighten up. The like, oh, you don't want to see me go back to the old me kind of thing, right? Like, how desperate has it gotten? Oh, Dad said, don't make me call Hugh Freeze. And somebody leaked that. That is now the key to resolving a coaching search in under 3 hours and getting everyone on the same page, is having somebody leak, hey, man, we expressed interest in Hugh Freeze. Like, okay, God, let's find a solid candidate.
The words Hugh Freeze and leak being so close to each other, it's getting a little uncomfortable.
Unfortunate. Yeah.
That was the thing. That was the thing that scared everyone straight. Like, Auburn's boosters might have been wrangling and tussling and hollering and all on different pages and all fighting. And somebody said, you know what? Watch this shit. And they called a reporter and they're like, we're looking at Hugh Freeze. All of a sudden, everybody's like, time to sober up. Time to sober up. Time to just get this thing done and hire somebody who can do the job. Somebody who all of their clothes really kind of already match Auburn's colors anyway.
So you remember 7, 8, 9 years ago when Arkansas State had that streak of 3 coaches in 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
One was Gus Malzahn, recently fired by Auburn. One was Brian Harsin, recently hired by Auburn. The other was Hugh Freeze, who was apparently almost hired by Auburn.
I actually forgot that Hugh Freeze was in that lineage.
This was also 4 straight GoDaddy bowls amongst this as well.
They went so daddy.
No one has went more daddy.
They had 4 different daddies for this run.
They did. I think Auburn should just start making contributions to Arkansas State to stash a coach there just for this event, right? Just for, hey, we lost a coach. Had to fire one. Well, just go pick up the one in Jonesboro. That's fine.
Trooper Taylor's at Duke. I thought he was there. He's now at Duke. Yeah, he's at Duke.
Oh, that's
places.
Fantastic.
But he was at Arkansas State.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that he would get some looks for the Auburn job, but apparently that didn't happen, and I'm personally sad about that.
He's just twirling a sad towel in his backyard by himself.
Just crying into $200,000 in a duffel bag. Sorry, $20,000 in a duffel bag.
I draw my Duke. Tears with this and it makes me feel
better.
Yes,
it's Duke, so it's so Coach K's like Coach K's pocket change. You know,
just shook his couch out into. They had the GAs clean out the console in his car. They said they could recruit with whatever money was left.
Where'd you find that? Oh man, I just leave stuff all over the place, don't I?
I got a pen. Can I keep the pen? And he just takes the pen back without a word.
It's for closers. Can't have it.
I don't understand that reference.
The other thing in this that is amazing to me before we ever discuss Brian Harsin is this. Kevin Steele is the defensive coordinator there. He is really well liked by the old guard of good old boys at Auburn because
he is old.
He's old. And
yeah.
He's definitely.
I was just thinking about everything they have in common. That's all.
He's definitely like a good old boy. He definitely is from Dillon, South Carolina. He sounds the part. He's a defensive coach, you know. So he does the like.
How'd they do this year?
They were okay.
Okay.
Okay. They weren't Todd Grantham good. Future Michigan defensive coordinator Todd Grantham.
I snorted my own brain down into my nose. Is that even possible?
Not for Todd Grantham. Okay. Have to be something to snort. Everybody really likes him, and they like the way that side of the ball worked. And the problem that wasn't really the problem for Auburn was the offense. And so the idea, in theory, was to see if we could get Kevin, who everyone likes, and just keep that working, not mess with the recruiting, and find an offensive fix.
That's not the only part of it.
No, it's not the only part. Kevin. Just as also has this coming, which is Kevin is working on a pension. Kevin needs like...
Kevin's on the Bill Clark plan.
Yes. Kevin is trying to get that Alabama state pension before retirement.
Which, respect.
Yes.
Respect to this. We are not dissing this at all.
Right. And my favorite thing about this...
I'm not even jealous of people who might get to retire someday.
No, like that's like
I'm aware that I don't deserve it.
Because Kevin,
well, if football coaches in Alabama are retiring, that's more jobs that are available for us at the age of 95.
Oh. We
can go coach UAB when we're 104.
Folks, we're gonna get the band back together and we're gonna go revamp Miami again.
Gonna do it. The U is back.
They will have gotten respectable again by then, and they'll need us.
Kevin Steele back in 2016, all right, and this is I respect the man's commitment to the bit, all right, because back in 2016 and the Montgomery Advertiser reported that yeah, he had 4 years of tenure as a state employee after working in two different stints, and he just needed six more years back in 2016. Okay, we got to get to 2022 to get Kevin Steele that state pension, right? I respect so much that a lot of this, like, there was a massive holdup in this, and that there was a huge speed bump because Kevin Steele's pension quest was the video game that he would not turn off.
That's why Bill Clark's still at UAB. It's the same thing. That's one of the primary reasons he stayed at UAB through the rebuild, because at the time, I believe he was only like 3 years or something removed from his own state pension deal.
Yeah.
That's what kept him there for so long.
Pension quest.
That's why Nick Saban didn't take the Nebraska job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only reason.
Yeah. That's it. Otherwise, same job. Same job. Like, even same colors. Think about it.
Speaking of Nebraska, as a Tennessee fan, I'm feeling a little mad about this. I know that's a new experience for all Tennessee fans, but Auburn dicked around for much less time than we did, and they got a better coach out of this.
That's the thing. They did everything wrong, and they ended up with a good coach.
I know, like, Auburn accidentally fucked around and made a good hire, and I'm kind of mad about it.
Well, here's what they did. They went back to the wellspring. They went back to Arkansas State. So, Tennessee, the next time you're in the market, all you have to do is go to Arkansas State. They got this new guy.
Hey, wait a second.
they got this new guy.
Wait a goddamn second, Jason Kirk.
He's been coached up by Nick Saban. He's learned how to coach really, really well. Maybe I don't know. Maybe give him a look in 2 years. When Pruitt's gone. I gave him 2 years. That's a lot.
That's a long time.
Yeah, we're already like 6 months overdue from my prediction. No, 3 months overdue from my prediction of Fulmer pulling a Barry Alvarez. He's making me look stupid because I need help in that department.
Maybe he's like just waiting to do the most Barry Alvarez ever. Like the biggest, the most dramatic.
Fire him in February and be like, oh, we can't find a coach. It's late. Fuck. And then he ends up coaching in 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would the most dramatic Barry Alvarez be walking into Wisconsin
in the middle of a bowl game?
That, or walking into Wisconsin's bowl game and taking over for Paul Christ while wearing a Tennessee hat?
Yeah, that would be it.
That did it.
This is, and we say like they accidentally ended up with a good coach.
They did. I'm not making fun of the end result of this at all.
I went back and looked. This is the most experienced and successful coach that Auburn has hired. I stopped at 1950. He has more experience and more success leading up to this job than Pat Dye had, than Shug Jordan had.
He
certainly
literally
more than
has
Doug
more
Barfield had.
More that's, than John Heisman shirt, had before taking shirt. The Auburn job.
Yeah.
John Heisman coached at Auburn?
Yeah,
after Oberlin and Buchtel.
Folks, my name is Stephen Godfrey.
God, how do you coach Oberlin kids to play football? Like, what's my motivation?
Oh, apparently Buchtel is now Akron. John Heisman coached at Akron.
Why would you change your name from Buchtel to Akron? That's such a downgrade.
The Buchtel Zips.
The Buchtel Zips.
The Buchtel fighting kangaroo.
Oh, it's even better.
Ooh, the lolly.
There might have been a year crossover where they were the Buchtel Zippers.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you for the beauty of this moment.
So, like, he's more the Akron Zips. Their name used to be way weirder. Imagine that.
That's absolutely bizarre. Also, the name recognition of Buchtel presumably not being as well known as Akron. I'm like, that's really overestimating Akron's name. The world brand. Knows Akron's name. Somebody at one point in history has said that. The world knows Akron's name. And everyone in the room kind of had to go. But really, he's more qualified and has more experience than Tommy Bowden had at this point. He's got more experience than Gene Chizik had, certainly, and definitely more success and more than Gus in terms of being a head coach. Like, 7 seasons at Boise, tons of success there, a lofty pedigree as a coordinator before that, and he's 44. That's it. Auburn. Like
he's pretty accomplished for being only 1 year older than you.
I know. It's amazing. Now it's like I'm at the age where you're like, oh boy, I feel bad. That guy's then again, he had to live in beautiful Boise. I know Boise's beautiful. Boise's great.
Boise, I don't actually understand why you would give up Boise to go live in Auburn. Sorry.
Yeah, I just said it out loud and it feels wrong.
Sorry, y'all.
That does Auburn sound
that is a downgrade.
Auburn is Auburn and Boise are a lot alike.
No, they're not.
You can fish in the middle of both cities.
Okay.
I mean, one in a septic tank, and then two in the middle of a beautiful river that runs in the middle of town. A babbling alpine brook. Beautiful. And then there's Auburn, where you can wash out some of the bars with a hose. Literally, because they have a drain in the back. The supper club.
That's bars everywhere.
No, I mean, like, it's a huge, terrifying grate that I'm pretty sure several Auburn students have probably fallen into when they wash out the supper club.
They got Auburn sewer people?
Alligators in the sewers. That's their fourth mascot.
That's it. Or the sewer people of Opelika who live down there, who just have given up on the light. And those are the real bag men.
The under Auburn. The plains men.
The under the plains.
There it is.
There we go. The only thing I don't know about Harsin is this. Is he right with the Lord? How right is he with the Lord? That's important. I need you to be cheek by jowl with the maker himself. before I feel totally comfortable turning the Auburn family over to your caretaking.
Yeah, does the Auburn AD That's all. Make you give your testimony? Does the Auburn AD like want to get down on one knee and pray with you?
Because that's a public, now it's a public university. I imagine there's some kind of dodge where they're like, we got to go do this on private property. Here, let's go to the Waffle House.
Let's go to this patch of my office that is being leased by a local businessman. There we can
yeah,
do.
Here we, that's it. Actually, I think it's the Waffle House inside the AD's office.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
a special deeded like republic, right? Here, this is actually the Republic of Yellow. This is the Yellowwood Republic. And it's you can see it's demarcated by this border of arsenic treated pressurized wood. And inside is a tiny Waffle House. And in there, you give your testimony to Auburn Jesus. And we ask you if you accept your Lord and Savior, Bo Jackson, and you do. And do you go ahead and give yourself to all the saints, Cadillac, Ronnie Brown, Taquillo Spikes, all of them. And you say, yes, I do. He had to do that. At least I hope he did, because I need Auburn. It's very important, of course, that all of us find some sort of spiritual solace and home and center in this universe. But if you're the Auburn football coach, you're going to have to be close to Jesus. I need that. I'm not even like a Christian, and I need the Auburn football coach to be that, just so things are right in this world.
Yeah. I like your version of Auburn, and I also like your version of religion.
Yeah. Like, no, everybody...
How saints work in this religion is fascinating, Spencer.
for ye with the thick necks, we give you Taquillo. mightiest neck of all.
Yeah, patron saint of shrugs.
Patron saint of neck like a water main, Taquillo Spikes. One of the most terrifying moments I ever had on Twitter, by the way, was Taquillo Spikes favoriting a tweet about how thick his neck was. I was like, man, Taquillo Spikes got like a massively thick neck. And it was like, this has been seen by Taquillo Spikes. Oh no.
Were you respectful?
I was immensely respectful.
Then we don't have a problem, do we?
Apparently we don't. Remember Taquillo Spikes in a trial of a man who took money from a lot of football players, including Taquillo Spikes. Got up on the stand and basically said he'd like to beat his ass in a court of law.
That's when you ask to be sent to jail.
That's
for your own protection.
I'd like to plead extremely guilty, Your Honor.
Your Honor, I did that shit.
Are there any crimes that I can pick up to extend my stay that nobody has claimed? I would like to take several of those. But yeah, congrats, Auburn. You actually accidentally made a decent hire.
Of course, we said that about Justin Fuente. Good luck, Bri.
Whew. Speaking of places Gus Malzahn might end up.
They could do a lot worse.
It would fit.
They could do a lot worse. I remain pro Gus Malzahn in most things.
That man likes hills and trees. That's all you need,
and
right?
And talking real fast.
As far as I know, his only hobby is driving his boat. You know who else like to drive a boat? Bud Foster. There we go. Sold. Apparently he's a VT man through and through.
Wait, is that job not opening? I know this isn't Split Zone. Is that job not opening this year? I thought for sure it would.
I do not know. That is the official. I do not know.
But well, they beat Virginia. And it takes a... If you beat Virginia, you gotta hang on to that guy, because...
The only reason I thought of that is because we're going, oh, hey, good job, Auburn. And I feel like the Virginia Tech situation has cured me forever of going, hey, good hire.
Yeah, because I thought that was going to work.
Because that still should. No, it's not just that we thought it should have worked. It should have worked. And we don't know why.
Yeah, I think I'm on like year one or two or something like that of just the coaching hire. Okay, acknowledged. What's my opinion of
it? Was there?
Yep, I recognize that it happened. You know, like, is it going to work? 50-50. Who could say?
Jason, was it Fuente who did that for you, or was it another situation?
It was Mac Brown, because I was convinced.
Oh, God, that's a great point.
Yeah, because I was convinced this is just over it, Mac Brown coming back for, you know, a lifetime achievement. Like, mm-hmm. you know, he was going to be the lame duck Texas Mac Brown, but no, he got him a quarterback. And once you get a quarterback, you look like a really good coach. So, what yeah, you never knew who might get a quarterback.
I don't actually care enough to pull up North Carolina's schedule this year, but there was a game this year that Godfrey and I both just went, oh, man, Miami's just going to come in there and wreck UNC. I cannot – it stuck in my head because I cannot remember being so wrong about an individual game.
Yeah.
Anytime recently.
Consider this. No, like, they lost to Notre Dame, and at the time I thought, ah, UNC hasn't got it. Okay, Notre Dame is a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
For given value playoff team, whatever. That's a team with one loss.
That is technically true.
Who beat Clemson in the regular season. Not going to provide any further context on that because it undermines my case. And then...
We don't have to say that part out loud.
And then I will always say that part out loud. Okay. UNC then went and just beat Miami's ass 62-26. They palindromed them.
Yeah, Godfrey brought that up like three split zones in a row because I think it shook him to his very core. We might have to have a long off-season talk about how we are all processing this Mac Brown glow up.
And Mac Brown is 69 where
they
years
had,
old.
They had like two guys who ran for 900 yards each in that game, roughly.
Yes.
Yeah, roughly. Like, I think they both reached 1,000 yards in the season on that game alone.
And respectfully, what the fuck?
Yeah, that man's 69 years old, and he's still mad.
Not to quote Matt Spell in the middle of this episode about Jesus, but by whose authority does Mac Brown do these things?
I don't even think we talked about that game on here. Maybe we did. Who knows? I never remember anything we've talked about or not. But Manny Diaz, head coach of Miami, surrendered the most rushing yards in Miami history in that game, right? The last time Manny Diaz in school record rushing yards surrendered, that was under Mac Brown's tutelage at Texas to Taysom Hill. So Mac versus Manny, when you put those two together, you're going to get some big, big gallops down the field.
2,000-yard rushers, a really good offense. That man turns 70 next year, and he's still angry. He's still angry enough to coach football.
He got some good plastic surgery, too.
Did he?
Yeah. I mean, it's not great, but for a coach, it's real good.
That's, you know what? Whatever helps. He's just all about competitive edges, man.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Texas didn't fire Tom Herman because they're like, I don't know if Mac Brown would say yes. Texas is just like working up the nerve to go ask Mac Brown to go out again.
I'm sorry, baby.
I almost sang that same Taylor Swift song for the second show in a row.
Why don't you just please come home?
Christmas. I don't know. Is Mac ready to make a downward move from the ACC to the Big 12?
Ow. I mean, the ACC does have a playoff team this year, don't
Two.
They? Two.
That,
yeah.
That is my point. Yes.
Yeah, you're correct. That is the prestige conference at the moment. What about the bottom of the conference? Never mind.
It's the ocean. It's the Atlantic. We don't know what's at the bottom.
You only need to see the top.
All manner of enemies. We went over this last week. The top of the sea, that's the good part. The bottom of the sea, that means you fucked up.
Yeah. What's at the top, Great Whites? Just nature's most terrifying predators.
Is that where they put those?
They swim to some depth. Precious.
Just the metaphor. No, just roll with it.
Okay.
What's at the top? Seagulls.
Yes.
Floating seagulls. The most dangerous predators.
Yes. Noted for spending a lot of time in the shallow waters on top of it. The great white shark.
And the seagulls who sit on the water.
Yeah.
Wait, it's got to be coming up on the anniversary of this question. Since we never figured out what reindeer are in Spencer's brain. Spencer, what do you think a shark is?
It's like a dolphin is like a shark with a graduate degree.
Okay, so a shark is a mammal? Is that your contention?
No, not necessarily, but it could
be. What do you mean not necessarily?
It could be. If it applied itself, it could be a dolphin.
That's transubstantiation.
Yeah. Because you know what? Sharks, that whole like moving all the time thing, like that's hustling backwards. You need to find a way to not do that.
No, man, they're hustling to stay still. Look, I'm sorry you're too weak for the rise and grind culture. They don't even have to rise because they never stop grinding.
Float and grind. Float and grind. That's what I think sharks are.
That's a really good way of you to get out of answering that you don't know if sharks are mammals.
I think they could be. I just don't think they apply themselves properly. You know? And who's and frankly, to my point, what animal preys on sharks that is not man? That's right, dolphins.
Not seagulls?
Seagulls have guns. They really don't need to prey. And if you don't give seagulls any trouble, they won't give you any trouble. But, you know, they do have that thing on them. And they're not afraid to use it.
So they're Philadelphians.
Go, birds! Yes.
The cheer is actually gull birds.
Gull birds!
It has been bastardized over the years. Into a mere eagle. Eagle!
Oh, wow.
What? The Philadelphia Seagulls. I did it.
We got there.
Good night, everybody.
I do.
We got more show.
We do have more show. We do have more show. I do want to plant the seed that I think we do need to talk about how I think Michigan, the problem with Jim Harbaugh in Michigan is that he doesn't have enough passion. It's clearly the problem that they don't have enough energy and they don't have enough passion. But that's planting a seed for what I want to talk about next. A seed that could grow into something more, something larger, Jason.
Acorns.com, where you can download the country's leading and saving and investing app with offer code FULLCAST to claim your $5 bonus when you sign up. Takes just a couple minutes to start saving and investing money. Longtime listeners know that I began my humble Acorns account with that mere $5. It is now $81.73. And I haven't done shit. I just look at it during the podcast each week. All that happens is when we spend money, nickels and dimes go into this thing, and then it goes out into the investment market machine where I'm making investments all day long. And the number just keeps going up. I'm gonna retire before age 104. I'm gonna take the UAB job just for fun. I won't even need it because I'll have Acorns. Acorns.com/fullcast.
Spencer, have you made Acorns yet?
I need to do that.
It's not that I want to see what happens, or that I want to track your progress against Jason's. It's just that from an anthropological standpoint, I am curious to see what this does to you.
I'm sure it will make me...
And what you do to it.
I'm sure it will make me wealthy beyond my wildest dreams. I'm sure it will give me the financial security that'll help me sleep a little bit better at night. Which means I'll be practically comatose.
All right, fair enough.
Because I already sleep like a bear. Oh. And by that, I mean I crawl into a hole in the ground. And I come out 5 months later. And breathe once a minute.
Show off.
I know.
This is the longest I've ever gone, probably since his hiring, without thinking about Jim Harbaugh. And I guess I've got that to say for 2020.
Well, they fired Don Brown, and that means they need a defensive coordinator. Don Brown, who maybe the last defensive coordinator I know with the mustache. Like, I think the mustachioed defensive coordinator.
Is Chavis still kicking around, sir?
I do not believe John Chavis is currently coaching.
Okay.
At least anywhere that we have to be concerned about.
Just checking.
Yeah. Even then, he went to a goatee. He did. And that's when he lost his powers, and I think everybody needs to remember that.
Mm. Yeah, he moved away from the Wario aesthetic, and his warrior spirit deserted him.
You can't spell warrior without Wario. Remember it. Embrace it. Make it a part of your life. But I think what Michigan clearly needs is they need more passion and they need more enthusiasm. And I think that really only leaves one real answer. Okay. Maybe with an alternate, but I think Michigan needs Will Muschamp to coach their defense. Because who can you think of who's a better match for the cerebral yet committed brand of Michigan football? Who
do you really need Ryan to make retching noises in the background for this joke to properly land, and he's not here.
Yeah. Will Muschamp in Ann Arbor, of all places. Imagine that. The poet warriors of Michigan football with a man who uses headbutts as a form of communication. It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
I'm now wondering if you don't dislike Will Muschamp because you're too alike.
That's definitely
Damn.
The problem with Will Muschamp and I.
I just meant the headbutts thing.
The headbutts thing? I mean, mine is a complex, layered form of communication with many subtleties. Will Muschamp might only communicate through headbutts. Mm. This requires further study. But I really think it's probably time to go ahead and explore that. Also, Todd Grantham's available.
Is he?
In theory. Can you...
Like, emotionally?
No, he's cold and distant.
No,
you wouldn't expect
that. No,
that's
actually true. We definitely always know what that dude is thinking.
Yeah, he's far too available, right?
Yeah. He's just out there, man. Mm-hmm. Can read it like... Can read his face like a book. Like a really short...
like a really stupid
dumb
book.
Like a really stupid book.
Hillbilly Elegy. The Face.
It's just The Secret by Todd Grantham. Blitz!
Oh my God. Do y'all think Jim Harbaugh has read the Celestine Prophecy?
Yes. Yes. He's totally read.
I know there's somebody listening to this show who has a way to ask him about that. Please do.
Yeah.
You don't even have to publish it. Just tell me.
If you name it, like, the motivational book, or is Jim Harbaugh one of those guys who's only read 5 books and they're all the best book in the world, according to him? Like, he read, like, everything I needed to learn, everything I really needed to know I learned in kindergarten, and, like, he's like, don't need to read another book for 10 years.
The Art of War.
Yeah, that's...
That was absolutely number 2.
The Art of War by Sun Tzu.
Sun Tzu.
Yeah, that's an awkward moment for a Michigan grad, by the way, when he mispronounces Sun Tzu. And he's like, do I correct him? No.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Must correct!
Painful.
That's it. When people pass out around Jim Harbaugh, because he mispronounced the author of an important work of literature, but they don't want to correct him. The Bind! But yeah, you can also take Todd Grantham. That would be fine. Todd Grantham, who, my favorite thing, if you want to know everything about a Todd Grantham defense, go look it up. They led the SEC in sacks this year. You know where they finished in every other defensive category? Middle of the road, baby. Middle of the road or lower. That's it. Like, what'd you do? We got sacks! What did it do for you? Nothing! Did nothing. Got nothing out of it. Ended up being average.
In the advanced stats associated with S&P+, my favorite Florida stat is defensive passing downs success rate, as in how often on third and long, basically, how often on third long did you prevent them from gaining necessary yards? Florida ranks number 112.
Out of how many?
Oh, excuse me. This is funny. This is really funny. I tried to click on Florida, and I clicked on Maryland. It's much better. It's much better. It's number 73. That's still really great for Florida.
73.
So in the spreadsheet, Maryland is directly below Florida. I was like, shit, this is way worse than I remember it being.
Anyway. That's the equivalent of on third down, just like take it. Like if you're just lined up on third down, you're like, don't snap the ball, just take it. Here. 10
we
yards.
Have fun here.
Just go ahead and take it. No. What I'd rather do is I'd rather blitz somebody from 40 yards away and see if they get there.
Ow, my petard.
Home field apparel.
Home field apparel is very good clothes. I'm wearing a Western Kentucky hoodie right now. I'm wearing it over another hoodie. Just trying to be as Midwestern as possible. Home field apparel. Hey, man, we tried to tell y'all. Get your Christmas time home field apparel orders in early. Get them in as early as possible. Home field's working as hard as they can to get those orders out the door. Might not be there by Christmas, but they're going to do their best. All right.
A lot of us might not be there by Christmas.
Yeah, nothing's going to be there by Christmas. So it'll get there. It'll get there when it gets there. Me and Spencer are in the warehouse working as hard as we can.
We are. That's what we do now. We work for home field. Connor's honestly the best boss we've ever had.
That's a little bar to clear.
True.
The offer code is still full cast if by chance you have not yet made your purchase, and now's as good a time as any to get in. Even though it's not going to arrive by Christmas, that's fine. It will arrive. You're going to need clothes in the future.
By the way, I was asked to endorse or to recommend several, you know, of my favorites for this. And I've decided that this week my favorite home field product is the San Diego State University Aztecs line, which has some absolutely boss-ass 70s and 80s retro logos. Holly has one. It is amazing. They all look absolutely fantastic. Also, if you wear one around, you won't be confused for somebody who can't party. Because, you know, STSU, bro. You know how to get down.
Now we're done. Merry Christmas, San Diego.
Merry Christmas, San Diego. I wanted to see if we could ask an important question of our producer, Michael Server.
Serbs.
I'm here.
Serbs up.
Because I was going to ask everyone what they did for Christmas, and in pre-show, we discovered something about Serber that I think we really need to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And it's this.
A nation awaits.
For us, for many, Santa is the pleasant side of Christmas, the down side, the dark side, the punitive side of Christmas is Krampus. The mm-hmm. German anti-Santa Claus.
Anti-Claus.
We proposed the Santa Claus and the anti-Claus.
Anti-fa-la-la-la.
Of Krampus.
I hate myself.
And Krampus is like kind of a fun and distant joke for many people. Unless he was very real for you. Server, you grew up in a house where Krampus was not a joke.
No. He was a very real part of my childhood and how my parents got me to behave. Most normal parents, you know, they tell you, hey, Santa's watching. You don't want to be on the naughty list. And the reason you don't want to be on the naughty list is because you might get a lump of coal put in your stocking. I didn't want to be on the naughty list because there was this giant man that was going to come put me in a burlap sack, whip me with reeds, and take me to the South Pole. He's going to take me to the South Pole, not the North Pole. There were no elves, just demons. And I was thinking, because we talked about this, so I've been thinking about it the whole taping, when my parents, and notably my oma, my grandmother, introduced this tradition to me. And I can't remember, which means it was always there. So I'm thinking my first memories are like around the time I was two. So I'm assuming from at least like 1.5 on, I knew that like someone was going to kidnap me from my home if I didn't obey my parents at Christmas. And it was horrifying. Like my uncle would go out onto the back porch to get me to go to bed Christmas Eve night. My uncle would go out on the back porch and like drag like a chain around. And they'd be like, hey, Mikey, Krumpus is coming. Like, I think he's checking the house out to see if there's any. You should go to bed, like, because that's what you need to do so Santa can come. And what they really wanted to do is they just wanted to, like, play poker or whatever they did Christmas night. But what they definitely did was scare the shit out of me with this Krumpus thing. And it was bad for me, but my uncle had stepkids. And he got, like, he introduced these perfectly normal children to the Krumpus who had, they never needed to know. Like, they were fine. They were 7. They liked Christmas. And he was like, no, we can't have you liking Christmas. You need to understand that you will be kidnapped.
You're too if you don't behave. Now, kids.
Yeah.
Well, did it
and,
work?
And if well, yeah, it totally worked. And I'm not a parent yet, but when I am, I'm 100% going to use it.
I like that you spent the last 5 minutes talking about what a trauma this was, and you're like, "Yep, signing up."
Yeah.
Server, when that happy occasion comes, and you need someone to drag a chain across the outside windows of your child's house, say the word, man. This sounds fun as shit.
Daddy wants to get drunk and play poker with his cousins. You need to go to bed. Get out the chain.
You know, we got to try this, right?
Yeah, we got to try this.
Because we have had an elf-related mishap in this house this week.
No, I couldn't. Actually, we could not try this because...
Oh, come on.
No.
Why not?
No.
What? Come on.
Because one of your kids would go, like, try to like, fight it or, like, inspect it or something, right? Like, one of your kids would be...
Not the one you... No, we discovered that this week.
So
there's the fighty one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's the other one. And the other one, the older one, is not the issue here.
No.
It is the younger one, the head-butting, fight everything, bite everything one, and who has apparently been nurturing a lifelong fear of elves that we were not aware of.
Okay, if you tell the younger child that something is real, and you assume that this is a whimsical play that both of you are in on, that is not the case.
This is it is if he's directing it, because this is a kid who will run up to you and say, "I'm a spaceman," because, you know, is a small child. But then the Tooth Fairy came along.
And he really thought, I had to text the Tooth Fairy because I explained that the Tooth Fairy was someone who came to your house, took your teeth, and left money. And he said, "That's terrifying. I don't want that." To which I had to go ahead and honestly reply, "No, that's totally valid. This guy's going to come to your house and take teeth and leave cash for
you
some reason."
You think the Tooth Fairy's a dude?
I don't know. The Tooth Fairy's preferred pronouns, I really shouldn't assume.
Okay, no, that's fair.
Yeah.
I shouldn't assume either. That's fair.
So they. I will go with the they. The Tooth Fairy is a terrifying idea. So I had to, you know, you can send a text to any number or any name. Like if you just put Tooth Fairy, you can just send a text. It's not going to go anywhere. So I have
that's what you think.
Picture. That's true.
And that's where the trouble began.
The Tooth Fairy's on the other end like, "Damn it. Mark down the tooth budget one. We're not getting any of his."
So anyway,
I had to text the Tooth Fairy and say, "Please don't come to our house."
Anyway, so day before yesterday, another child in our quarantine bubble came to the front door of my house where we were working and the children were Zoom schooling. And her mom had dropped her off for this exact purpose. She ran up the front steps. She was dressed in a very cute little elf outfit and a Santa hat. And she left a little package on the front steps of cookies and hot chocolate for her friends, Spencer's children. And she waved and she went, "Shh." And we said, "Okay, shh." And she ran away. And the boys did not see her. And they came out as we were picking up the cookies and hot chocolate and coming inside. And me being a reasonably Christmassy adult said, "Oh, look, boys, an elf came and left you guys some surprises." Child one, "Oh, that's so nice." Belligerent, fighty child, complete and utter meltdown.
"Elves aren't real. It wasn't an elf." No.
No. Well, that gave way very rapidly to being extremely upset that the idea that we had let an elf near the front door of the house, like this was a security failure on our part.
Like I'm supposed to stay strapped in case an elf comes around.
Yes.
And deal with the problem myself.
This also led at one point to when I said an elf left them to, because I thought we were still playing, like, ha ha ha. This led to the child pointing at me tearfully and going, "She's lying."
Wow.
How long did this take to talk down?
About
45 minutes.
Well, where are we standing now? Like, are we okay with elves now or no?
No.
No.
Oh, no.
Nope.
No. Situation has not improved.
No. Yeah.
Give that kid a little crumpus and keep that down to about 5-10 minutes.
Okay, this is why I said I wanted to try this, because you might feel sorry for this situation now, but when attempts have been made by adults in the quarantine bubble to broach the "you better watch out or Santa won't bring you any presents." He looks at you flat-eyed and he goes, "That's a myth."
Damn.
Yeah.
He's real hard until you put something with pointy ears in his line of vision, and then he just goes completely to pieces.
I do not think...
I really want to try the Krampus thing now.
I will have a serious issue with anybody who tries to tell him about Krampus or that he's real. We will fight.
All right, that's fine.
We will
fight. I can take you.
Because that is 12 hours of upset. I'm going to deal with 12 hours, and I'm
going to
stop by
Spencer's Twitch on Christmas Day.
Just screaming. What are you playing? I'm playing Bad Parent. Watch it happen. Yeah. We're not telling the kid about Krampus because
we might not be.
I'm going to peel him off the ceiling. That's what we'll have to do.
Yeah, that's the other problem. It was extremely funny.
You want to see like a 7-year-old holding a knife going, "I'm waiting. I'm waiting, Krampus. I'm waiting for you."
You see, you can see saying this why it was hard to take him seriously in the moment.
Uh-huh. No, it's dead serious. That was not happening. No. I do like the idea, by the way, that Krampus beat you with sticks. Not just,
reeds. Not just sticks.
I'm sorry.
Reeds. He had tiny little whips of nature.
Mm-hmm. And he just beat your ass. Like, that's not, I love.
Switches.
I love that that's so not like, ooh, hoo, hoo, I'll abduct you to a naughty island of bad children. No, he's like, no, I'm going to come beat your ass. Krampus is just, that's all he does.
Krampus is just doing his job, man.
Krampus just spends all, like.
I don't hate this at all.
Like, Krampus is just doing, he's doing a planet-wide beatdown the entire length of the Christmas holiday. I think that's a more impressive, I know the logistics.
If there's every year that we could relate to this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, the logistics of giving a gift to all of the children in the world who deserve them. Yeah, that's impressive in theory for Santa. But the sheer physical prowess and the determination and the endurance, the stamina required to just, I know, Krampus could probably beat up one kid, but he literally takes on the, like, how many kindergartners could you fight? Krampus, the answer is all of them.
So we have a reader question.
Yes.
To get to. And the reader question is from one Stephanie Phillips. And Steph Phillips has this to ask of us. I think you guys should read this.
Always a good start.
All right. I've been selected for this mission because I have previously spent some time in the country in question. I want to know if you fellas have ever heard of the Swedish Yule Goat.
I'm interested.
All right. This is our favorite thing to read. Steph was wise to bring this to us. It is a Wikipedia page about the Gävle goat, or the Swedish Yule goat. The Gävle goat is it's a Burning Man type situation, but it's Swedish and it's a holiday thing, by which I mean it is a large object that is constructed over Christmas that is frequently set on fire. The thing is, it's not supposed to be set on fire. Here's the introduction. The Gävle goat is a traditional Christmas display erected annually at Castle Square in central Gävle, Sweden. It is a giant version of a traditional Swedish Yule goat figure made of straw. So in Sweden, Santa Claus is like has a goat, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, Santa Claus has a goat that carries all the packages. It is erected each year by local community groups at the beginning of Advent. It has been the subject of repeated arson attacks, and despite security measures and the nearby presence of a fire station, the goat has been burned to the ground most years since its first appearance in 1966. As of December 2019, the goat has been damaged 37 times. Burning the goat is illegal, and the Court of Appeal stated that the offense should normally carry a 3-month prison sentence for aggravated property damage. Okay, so I'm going to skip to the, it has a list of, there's a chart at the bottom of this, like you would see for a football rivalry. There are many tables in this page. And I'm going to, two of the column headings on this table should make it obvious why this is extremely our shit. Thank you, Steph. One of these columns is security additions, and one of these columns is method of destruction. I am going to read method of destruction aloud for the years. Oh, let's start in 1970. From 1970 onward, the method of destruction of the Swedish Gävle goat, which again is not constructed with the intent of being destroyed. Fire, smashed to pieces, collapsed, stolen. Wait, stolen? It's huge. This thing is the size of a building.
That's my goat.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I got to start over. I got distracted. Fire, smashed to pieces, collapsed, stolen. The first fire was 6 hours after construction.
It's a good 6 hours, Gävle goat.
Smashed to pieces, collapsed, stolen, fire, collapsed, hit by a car, fire, 1978, kicked to pieces, 1979, fire slash broken. This was the first year they attempted to fireproof the goat.
How'd that go?
Fire slash broken.
Did you see? I'm sorry. Did you see the date of destruction was prior to assembly?
Yes. They set the pieces of the goat on fire.
We're pre-burning this.
All right. We're into the 80s now. 1980, fire. 1981, survived. 1982, and going onward. Fire, legs destroyed. Fire, 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 fire. 1988, survived. This is also.
What does survived mean?
That it made it through Advent without being burned down by vandals.
I would point, by the way, in 1988,
I'm certain that
maybe
once Advent ends, they then destroy it, right?
1988, I guess? Yep. 1988 was also the first time gamblers were able to gamble on the fate of the goat with English bookmakers.
I think there was some market manipulation there because notice that you got like six straight years of destroyed, including 1 year in 1983 that just says legs destroyed.
Yeah, so let's look at the 1989 edition, which in the method of destruction column has fire slash fire. It was set on fire prior to assembly. Financial contributions from the public were raised to rebuild the goat, and the second goat was burned down in January. All right, 1990, survived with the notation the goat was guarded by many volunteers. 1991, fire. Also, the goat was joined by an advertising sled that turned out to be illegally built. 1992, fire slash fire again after 8 days and again on the 20th of December. 1993 and 1994, 2 year streak of survival. 1996 and 1997, survived and survived with damage by fireworks. Destroyed also in 1995, this time by a Norwegian.
Scandal.
Bastards.
1998, it burned down during a blizzard.
That's the most metal shit I have ever heard. I burned down the Gävle goat during a blizzard.
I keep thinking we've come upon the best notes in this, but we keep getting better ones because there's also a column for date of destruction. And in 1999, the notation for date of destruction is within hours.
I just love that there's somebody sitting there waiting going, I'm going to burn that goat.
Hang on. We're coming up upon the real reason for the season. All right. We're into the 2000s. 2000, fire. 2001, fire. Notation. A visitor from Cleveland, Ohio in the United States was arrested for burning the goat.
That guy, by the way, he was fined 100,000 kroner and they took his lighter in court because, and I quote, you obviously can't handle this. Imagine going to a foreign country and they take your lighter because they're like, okay, man, child, you obviously can't. For an American, I can't think of anything more galling than like a Scandinavian court being like, you're clearly an infant. I am not. I'm just American.
Okay, so 2002, attempt was made. The goat received only minor injuries, quoting here. 2003, fire. 2004, fire. 2005, fire caused by unknown vandals reportedly dressed as gingerbread men shooting flaming arrows. The hunt for the arsonist.
Those guys are also from Cleveland.
Yeah.
The hunt for the arsonist responsible for the goat burning in 2005 was featured on Sweden's Most Wanted. All right, 2 year survival streak. in 2006 and 2007. Oh, apparently they're not destroyed because the goat from the 2006 is now stored in a secret location, per Wikipedia. 2008. Oh, these notes are like a paragraph length. Okay, let's see what we got here. 2008, fire. 10,000 people turned out for the inauguration of one of the goats. No backup goat was built to replace the main goat.
That's their first mistake.
Nor was the goat treated with flame repellent. The spokesperson of the, this is a hyphenate, goat committee said the repellent make it look ugly in previous years, like a brown terrier.
They wanted a pretty goat.
Anyway, in 2009, also fire, a person attempt to set the goat on fire the night of 7 December. An unsuccessful attempt was made to throw the goat into the river the weekend of 11 December, then tried again without success. It took 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, burned to the frame even though it had a thick layer of snow on its back. And this was also the first year in 2009 that the goat had two online webcams which were put out of service by a DOS attack just before the burning.
You know what I'm hearing in my head the whole time, by the way, as this is happening?
Yeah.
I'm just hearing, like, nothing but... I'm just hearing, like, M and Amarth the whole time.
I know we've been reading this for a minute, but I promise you that the 2010s do not disappoint. Are you with me? Can we power through?
We can do it.
All right. 2010. Survived. On the night of December 2nd, arsonists made an unsuccessful attempt to burn the Natural Science Club's goat. These goats are made by community groups. On the 17th of December, a Swedish news site reported that one of the guards tasked with protecting the southern merchant's goat had been offered payment to leave his post so that the goat could be stolen via helicopter.
Wow.
2011, fire. 2012, fire. 2013, fire. 2014, despite three arson attempts, survived. 2015.
I would like to claim 2015.
Go ahead.
Because in 2015, yes, it was destroyed by fire again, which would be routine when considering the Gevla goat. However, a 26-year-old man fleeing the scene with a singed face smelling of gasoline and holding a lighter in his hand arresting. Under questioning, he admitted to it, adding that he was drunk at the time, and in retrospect it was, and I quote, an extremely bad idea.
So by claim 2015, you mean that was you?
That was me.
Speaking of which, the 2016 goat was destroyed by an arsonist equipped with petrol just hours after... Oh, I thought this was just hours after the arsonist's 50th birthday party. This is much less interesting. This guy was 21.
It was
replaced by a smaller goat that was then hit by a car!
I just imagine that's a spur-of-the-moment thing, right? Like, Olaf's just driving by and he's like, doo-dee-doo-dee-doo, hit the goat!
Here's the thing. 2017, 2018, and 2019, we are seeing what I can, as far as I can tell, is the first ever 3-year streak of survival.
I think we should get the American military to destroy it now.
I think we need to redeploy Cleveland. It's in there. This is the first time ever that the goat survived more than 2 years in a row. So this year, the inauguration... This year is kind of interesting. The goat was inaugurated on November 29th. The inauguration was digital due to the pandemic. The public has been advised not to gather around the goat. The only link on C also at the bottom of this extremely long and gratifying wiki page is baby Jesus theft.